Our next speaker, I'm really proud to say, is an activist from Phoenix, Arizona, on the immigration front. Her name is Stacey. She's working right now primarily with the Urgent Connection Coalition Building. Please welcome her.
Despite the involvement in the drug trade, the Mexican government would rather control the cartels, and several within the government probably want there to be no cartels. However, since illicit drugs are the number one source of revenue in Mexico, it's no wonder that so many people, from poor youths to police officers to the president, perhaps even DEA agents, are involved in it. It's being said that 10,000 have died in the drug war in Mexico since the beginning of Calderón's presidency at the end of 2006. The violence that is occurring doesn't happen organically. In addition to Mexican military involvement, U.S. involvement is directly tied to the worst violent offenders, Los Zetas. These are former Mexican soldiers from an elite U.S.-trained anti-narcotics special forces team who deserted to work in the more lucrative drug trade. They were trained as death squads at the School of Americas. They started out as the, they started out as the Gulf Cartel's private army, but now they're believed to be forming their own cartel. They are also involved in human trafficking across Mexico's southern border. Despite knowing that Los Zetas were trained by the U.S. and now are involved in violence and drug war that the U.S. is so concerned about, the U.S. government wants to provide more resources and training to the Mexican army. This also despite the common knowledge of the corruption and human rights abuses. The bad decisions made under the guise of a war against drugs also fits the pattern of previous failed attempts by the U.S. in the war on drugs. The war against drugs in Colombia. I say failed in terms of cutting down on drugs, but it has not been a failure for foreign investment. Efforts have not been made to deal with the demand for drugs, though Obama and Napolitano are giving a lot of lip service to the focus on U.S. demand. I believe that everyone mainly wants drug cartels under control. Whether or not they really want to stop the drug trade is another story. In fact, there's much evidence that the U.S. government, or at least certain individuals, are directly involved in the drug trade. What we should really be concerned about is that the training, resources, and whatever else is going to the Mexican army will mean for the indigenous and rebellious communities in Mexico. There are already too many examples of disappearance, murder, torture, imprisonment, and other abuses by the Mexican military and police as it is. For example, Zapatista communities have been invaded by soldiers claiming to look for marijuana plants, despite the communities having a policy against drugs and alcohol. I just came upon some information the other day, so I don't know much about it, but some of you may be familiar with the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, which is associated with NAFTA. Here's a quote from Miguel Picard of the Center of Economic and Political Investigation for Community Action. Quote, "The Merida Initiative, as we see it, is the U.S. implementation of its broader security agenda. It is the visible manifestation of secret negotiating under the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America. It is part of plans to further criminalize social protest, something that has already affected life in Mexico." Unquote. In fact, the Merida Initiative was being discussed 2 years ago at the beginning of what seems to be the spike in the violence. I remember reading one of John Ross's books about Zapatistas in which he described foreign investors' concern after the uprising in 1994 that the Mexican government get Zapatistas under control. U.S. investors have a lot of stake in being able to exploit the Mexican people and resources. Something that could not continue if they were to gain true autonomy or revolution. On a side note, I find it interesting that so many anti-immigrant folks would argue that migrants should go back to Mexico or wherever they're from to fight for change. I hope that if it came down to it, those same people would protest any effort the U.S. government made to help the Mexican government stop the rebellion, but I don't see that happening. The Merida Initiative would also benefit the military-industrial complex by putting money into buying U.S.-made aircraft and other technology, as Kristen Brooker describes in her article, U.S. releases $90 million in planned Mexico military hardware and training. It will also go to private defense and security firms such as Blackwater. While it may seem like a good thing that Obama and his cabinet are talking about U.S. demand for drugs, this will likely not lead to legalization or decriminalization or treatment, but instead an increased focus on gangs. This means undocumented immigrants will still be a target for law enforcement, as well as U.S.-born people of color may be further targeted in the drug war. According to Kristen Berger's article, Gangs, New Target in the War on Drugs, quote, since the U.S. is the world's biggest drug market and Mexican drug trafficking organization's primary source of weapons, U.S. officials can't blame Latin America for all of its drug woes, so they're turning to gangs. The U.S. government recently released three major drug-related reports, the National Drug Threat Assessment, the International Narcotics Control Strategy Report, and the National Gang Threat Assessment. In all reports, gangs figure prominently in drug trafficking. The International Narcotics Control Strategy Report is broken down by country, and gangs feature prominently in almost every country report, unquote. The drug war is, in a way, already affecting people in the U.S. Many undocumented immigrants and others have been kidnapped and held for ransom by drug and human traffickers. But the only solution proposed has been increased law enforcement. Sheriff Arpaio of Maricopa County, where I'm from, is giving as his primary reason for pulling over brown skin drivers during his sweeps. Or he's giving that as the primary reason. This is resulting in the undocumented immigrants getting caught up in the sweeps and being put in jail, detention centers, or being deported, in addition to getting abused in some cases by officers. Although even aside from broken arms and jaws, I call the whole operation abuse. In essence, the police and ICE are doing the same thing as the kidnappers. They are holding people against their will in jails and detention centers, many of which are private, abusing them and profiting from it. We must understand that violence tends to occur in underground markets. By criminalizing people and goods, the criminal activities become more profitable, and the vulnerability of those who have been criminalized creates a situation in which they fall victim to those who take advantage. It is the criminalization that is what has created these problems. Border security and law enforcement have created a situation where people have to travel through the harsh terrain of the desert and have to accept assistance from sketchy people to find their way and are not deemed worthy of safety and dignity. So does it make sense for us to expect or ask the police to fix the problems of kidnapping and assault? Hell no, because they create the problem and they participate in it. I am also very concerned about what the border security and militarization will mean for border crossers in the near future. Within the language of the Merida Initiative, migrants are lumped in with illicit goods and terrorists. With the new presidential cabinet, we also have a new focus on criminal aliens, thereby further justifying rule of law and, for political purposes, superficially differentiating between the good and bad migrants. How can we argue about removing rapists and murderers from our communities? But then again, is there as much effort put into going after white rapists and murderers? In addition, enforcement was previously said to have been focusing on these dangerous criminals, such as in Operation Return to Sender, but in actuality, most of those swept up in its nets have had no criminal records. New laws have also been and are created to further criminalize migrants as well, including trespassing, soliciting, driving without a license, identity theft, etc. It is a purposeful construction of migrants as criminal aliens. I want to read to you the definition of white supremacy by Elizabeth Martinez. Quote, white supremacy is an historically based, institutionally perpetuated system of exploitation and oppression of continents, nations, and peoples of color by white peoples and nations of the European continent for the purpose of maintaining and defending a system of wealth, power, and privilege, unquote. The criminalization of people is an example of maintaining and defending a system of wealth, power, and privilege. The war against illegal immigration is just one part of institutionalized racism, except this is an example that makes it all the more clear that crimes have been made out of the actions of people because of who they are. The main interest of the political forces involved, whether they want migrants out or want to continue to exploit them here, is to criminalize them. This way they can keep them exploitable and to keep resources resources away from them. Criminalization, while not necessarily part of the conspiracy, is created by economic motives to divide the working class, for example, and to enforce social control. History shows many examples of the law being used for racist ends, whether it be the blatant racism of the slavery era or the veiled racism of the Reconstruction era, when black men were accused of a number of crimes such as vagrancy and sent to work as punishment. This is called convict leasing. People of color, particularly the liberation movements, have been political threats to the government as well. And so for the sake of social control, not just economic interests, people have been criminalized to prevent any real threat. Immigration enforcement is often justified as part of homeland security to protect us from terrorists. But national security should be defined as including adequate housing, food, safety, dignity, health, but it's not. The U.S. prison population is the highest in the world, and a huge portion of those people are in for drugs, and a huge portion of those people are people of color. This is the way our government decides to deal with social problems. So in the context of immigration and criminalization, what should be done? The emphasis on legality of people should not be confused with the goal of legalizing people exactly, not to promote assimilation and participation in a system of white supremacy, but to bring attention to the politically motivated criminalization of people and to change it. Legalizing immigrants, though not very likely to happen in any acceptable way, if at all, does not address many of the economic, political, and race issues that currently exist. Instead, we should bring these issues together and address the law as politically manufactured to maintain white supremacy. We also need to look at the ways in which the drug trade is fueled by those economic conditions and how the associated crime is used to advance the rule of law by justifying repression of those associated with crime. When we talk about solutions to drug war problems, one major option is the legalization or decriminalization of drugs, which surprisingly is being discussed more and more in mainstream media. This would certainly undermine the power the cartels have. It would not, however, address the economic situation, which is the reason so many people are involved in the drug trade in the first place. The poverty in Mexico is directly tied to U.S. neoliberal projects like NAFTA, but the militarization of the border and the U.S. involvement in the drug war is an effort to protect these economic interests. This cannot be separated from and should not be seen as should be seen as important as fighting NAFTA, WTO, etc. That's all I have. I can take some questions if I have time.
What is your perspective on the role of anarchists, radicals, especially white people, in the struggle for the human rights of immigrants and against this whole criminalizing system, as opposed, and you know, especially as in relation to the efforts that those groups, you know, the immigrants themselves, are making to, you know, form their own movements?
Yeah. I see, it's kind of hard to say because I really see a lack of focus on this issue amongst anarchists. Although it seemed kind of popular maybe a few years ago and then just dropped off, but maybe it just seems that way because, like with the No Borders camp, there was a lot of energy up to that, and then it didn't really fulfill its purpose, I would say. And that on top of the Delete the Border website, which was the main, I don't know, the main network, I guess, in a way, that website has been messed up for a while. So, but I mean, I went to the Anarchist Book Fair, there was hardly anything on immigration. But then I think there are also people who are working within the communities, like the groups that are organizing it locally, and so that's where their focus is, and so they're not putting out stuff through the anarchist networks. So I wouldn't say that it's just that it's not happening, but there's a lack of communication, I think, that we really need to work on building. I can't really say exactly what we should be doing. I feel like the main focus that that I've had and that the group I'm in care of has had is to use our white privilege to access, you know, people who could maintain these attitudes about immigrants that we could potentially change. And it's kind of hard to figure out how that can work, but that's kind of beyond that, fighting against the repression in various ways. I know there's stuff going on here with the checkpoints against the Minutemen. In where I'm from, there's been stuff against the Minutemen, but they're not doing a whole lot lately. But the police, the sheriff's office, have mainly been. A lot of the anarchists have either been doing cop watching, which feels kind of confined, or have been, you know, doing smaller, not so effective things as well. So it's just, I think people need to talk about these things more and come up with ideas. And that's why we put out our call for submissions for the zine to really get these things out there. And so, yeah. Any other questions? Thank you.